Sup, freaks. This rip of RHR was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They produce the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet. It's got two secure enclaves. It's got a full screen, full keyboard here. As you can see, if you're watching, if you can't watch, just imagine something that looks like a BlackBerry. It allows you to create private public key pairs offline in an AirGAT fashion. You never have to connect the Cold Card Q to an internet device. You can sign transactions and PSBTs remotely in the most secure fashion. If you're a Bitcoin Power user and you're looking for the best security, go pick up a Cold Card Q and go to coinkite.com. Find the Cold Card Q there. I think you can go to coldcard.com as well. Use the code RHR for 5% off. Step up your security. Get a Cold Card Q. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC-free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page, and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them, and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
Matt and I have been talking about privacy and the importance of using a VPN for 7 years now, literally 7 years. I believe at least once every episode or two, it's like, hey, make sure you're running a VPN. I think it's especially important today where you have governments in the UK, other parts of Europe, all across the world, really trying to introduce digital ID and curbing speech with hate speech laws. Make sure you're protecting your privacy and shielding yourself from government surveillance as you're perusing the web. Our VPN of choice here at RHR is Obscura. It is built by a Bitcoiner for Bitcoiners. Carl Dong did some very critical work for Bitcoin back in the day, but he decided to shift his focus to bring privacy to everybody with Obscura. It is a VPN that cannot log, literally by the way it's designed. A lot of VPNs will hand wave, say, we're not logging. You can't trust them. You want the VPN that cannot log. That is Obscura. Go to obscura.net. Use the code RHR for 25% off when you sign up any of their deals. Make sure you're using it, particularly if you're in one of these countries where the governments are becoming extremely censorious and targeting citizens that exhibit wrong think. You should be running a VPN. That VPN should be Obscura. Obscura.net, code RHR, 25% off. This rip was brought to you by our official electrolyte sponsor here at RHR, Salt of the Earth. You've been hearing Matt and I talk about it quite a bit. I drink multiple packets of it a day. You got to stay hydrated. That's why my face looks so good. So I'm getting buff. I'm able to get to the gym more because I'm hydrated. Matt, he's looking incredible. I'm sure you've all noticed it. You want to know why? Salt of the Earth, baby. Go to drinksote.com, use the code RHR, and you're going to get 15% off. I'm dead serious. It's made my life way better. My wife, she's right behind me right now laughing, but she's laughing because she knows it's true. She drinks like seven a day. I drink a few a day, maybe seven a day too. Matt, I don't even want to tell you how much he's drinking. It's good. It keeps you hydrated. It keeps you alert. Keeps you ready to go. Drinksote.com. That's drinksote.com. Use the code RHR for 15% off any order.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Ooh, doggy. Hair of the dog episode. The day after Thanksgiving. Black Friday. Some people like to call it. Oh, I like this title. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy did Thanksgiving. Did I do good? It was a very creative one.
Yeah. What do we got here? Dead cat bounce. We were celebrating the bear market last week. A lot of people did not appreciate it.
It's either a dead cat bounce or hyper Bitcoinization.
Either or. Either
we
or.
Either, we, gotta t- we either go up or down from here, but either way, stay humble, stack sats.
Yeah. All right, we got a tight list.
How was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
It was a great Thanksgiving. Boys and I, we woke up, we went on an adventure. Walked around the neighborhood.
we found a large branch at the playground that it was demanded that I carry it home. So we carried it home back to our house and we worked on it for about 4 hours. So we had a lot of distraction in the early part of the day, which is what you hope for on Thanksgiving. A lot of fascination. It's crazy what young boys will get fascinated over. So we're hitting a baseball bat. At one point, we're going to go buy an axe and cut it up into pieces and bring firewood to the host of our Thanksgiving dinner. And then, yeah, the dinner was great. It was a good time.
I that's such a boy thing. They demanded that you bring back the branch.
It was like it was a massive one too. It's probably like 10 feet long.
I can envision it. Did they call it a tree or did they acknowledge that it was a branch?
They acknowledged it was a branch.
You brought up an axe. Did you see that it went viral this week? Did you see that Tractor Supply is selling a $50 spear?
I did see that.
I really want that spear.
Are we going
to
start a legion?
I don't know what I need it for. I don't really need a spear, but...
We're going to start a legion. We're bringing it back to Roman legion days.
Fucking hilarious. I love Thanksgiving. I have a lot to be grateful for this year. Truly blessed, so... It's good to be with family, good to eat good food. We didn't do turkey this year. We did smoked meat, braised beef... We smoked tri-tip and ham and then did some braised beef, which I found. So Josh, I posted that on Noster and Josh, Beefsteak Josh got very triggered, said you have to do turkey. Sorry, Josh.
It is tradition. We did a turkey. I was in bed by 11. It was a good day. Great day. Thankful for a lot of things. Day before.
You see the JD Vance turkey quote?
No. What'd he say?
I don't want to butcher it. Let me read it specifically. JD Vance turkey. Here it is.
Got the clip if you want.
Turkey. Oh yeah, you want to play the clip?
Let's pull up the clip.
Play the clip. Instead of me doing my JD Vance impression.
You know, one of the things that I love about Thanksgiving, it's probably my favorite American holiday. If you think about all the holidays that we celebrate, Thanksgiving is the most uniquely American holiday. You know, Christmas, of course, the birth of Jesus, all of these other holidays, they're very important. And I love Christmas as much as anybody. I've got three little kids. But Christmas is a holiday that 1.8 billion Christians uniquely got turkey. American thing. That's why, for example, we have, you know, turkey. Think about turkey. Who really likes, be honest with yourselves, who really likes turkey? You're all full of shit. Everybody who raised your hands. I know. Think about it. And here's how I know.
Wait, keep playing. Keep playing.
I know that every single one of you who raised your hand is lying to me. How many times do you roast an 18-pound turkey just randomly? Just, you know, a nice summer afternoon, we're going to go get an 18-pound turkey. Nobody does it because turkey doesn't actually taste that good. But on Thanksgiving, on the most American holiday, I got a fan over here, on the most American holiday, we're going to cook a turkey, by God, because that's what Americans do. We cook this gigantic American bird, and we do all kinds of crazy things to make it taste good. I talked to a soldier today who she said she's going to deep fry a turkey. And I'm actually going to deep fry a turkey myself tomorrow. And look, here's the thing. If you've got to deep fry something to make it taste good, it probably isn't that good. That's a pretty good rule of thumb when it comes to food. Chicken is good all the time. Chicken is good when you deep fry it, but it's also good outside of it.
Epic.
We do a turkey roast once a summer. We have a turkey dinner in the middle of the summer.
There you go.
Sleeper cut of meat at Terry Black's in Austin, Texas. It is a smoked turkey. You put it in their tangy, like yellow orange-ish barbecue sauce. It's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can definitely do turkey right. We just changed it up this year. We had a small Thanksgiving and we changed it up this year. But anyway, I love that rant. It was a good.
I want to give
a good speech.
I want to give a shout out to my brother-in-law's father, who I think is a low-key freak. Listens to the podcast. If you're listening now, dinner was great last night. It's great talking to you.
Who is this?
My brother-in-law's father.
Your brother-in-law's father?
Yeah. He was at dinner last night.
So he's like your father-in-law once removed.
I guess.
I don't think that's a thing, but it could be.
It's my wife's sister's husband. His grandkids are my kids' cousins.
There's your father-in-law once removed.
Yeah. Shout out to you.
It's clean.
Yeah, it's a great time of year. Had a good Wednesday before Thanksgiving. As some of you freaks may know, I have a tradition with my brother where we go and get close shaves. Did it in Center City this year. That was a good rip. Good rip. We did like a little sauna, cold plunge before. Hit a bar after. Had some beverages in my dad's honor. It was a great time.
Did you see what Logan posted in the Nostril Live chat?
Let me pull it up.
Everyone should reset their political opinions and recalculate them based on Vance's turkey comments.
Logan, do you agree with them or are you a big turkey?
You know, you can just speak, Logan.
Turkey's okay.
Yeah, it's not like the best, but I'm not gonna run with JD's line of thinking that it's terrible. I was a big turkey sandwich guy growing up. No, there's nothing better than a high quality turkey club sandwich.
Yeah, and leftovers really shit.
Yeah. Logan, Queen may be your biggest fan of all time. I just want to say that.
Seems so.
She loves you.
Hi, Queen.
In both chats. She hops between YouTube and Noster. Speaking of Noster, we've got some pretty big boost already. Soap Miner, 21,000 sats. Hello, freaks. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. Then Confernius, 77,777 sats, sevens across the board. Palindrome, Zap, great post. Thumbs up. Went with the generic preset comment there. Thank you.
No, I mean, with a huge Zap. Thank you. Thank you, sir. It means a lot. Absolutely love to see it. As always, you can join the Nostra live chat where the ride or die freaks dwell. In your favorite Nostra app, I really like Primal. You can download Primal in your favorite app store. On desktop, you can go to zap.stream and various other Nostra apps support it. Love getting the support and the Bitcoin Zaps. It's pretty fucking cool.
Fernius is saying, send it too quickly. Love you guys. Love you too, brother.
Also, someone asked on Noster last week for the context and the origin story of palindrome boosts. And Marty just responded back, I just like palindromes.
I do. They're fascinating. It's that simple. There's nothing really much to it.
It gave me massive I like turtles vibes, by the way.
I just like palindromes. Nothing, not much to it. Soap Miner, I used your soap about an hour and 40 minutes ago. Went to the gym to get a post-Thanksgiving sweat. Lemongrass. I'm onto a bar of lemongrass right now. It's a great bar. It's a great bar. Just say that.
Yeah, I also used your soap today. Right. I don't know which one I'm on. Maybe I'm using tea tree.
Tea tree. I haven't tried tea tree yet.
Lemongrass. I don't know. My son, my oldest is like at the age where he's just like a soap bar destroyer. Just hangs out in the shower and destroys bars of soap.
Just lets it soak. Yeah. Lets the soap soak.
And like throws it on the ground. Slams it against the wall of the shower.
Dents it.
Yeah, we just let him hang out in the shower. He'll just hang in the shower for like 25 minutes and destroy soap.
That's the way to do it. All right, we're going to Clark's dashboard because we got a great price right now. $91,000 on the dot.
We're up 7% from where we were last week when we met. One cuck buck's going to get you 1,098 sats.
Sats Marty's still the bottom today. End.
We'll see. We'll see. We shall see. I mean, the bottom in 2015 was like $180. That was pretty low. It's just an ongoing super cycle.
That was brutal. Yeah, it's just one forever super cycle, I guess, depending on your definition.
We're at a $1.82 trillion market cap. We are still 27.8% below the previous all-time high of 126,160 cuck bucks. We are at block height, 925,593. Just want to say, felt proud of myself. I was sitting at my desk earlier today. I saw block 925,000, more numerology on my block clock mini, or my micro, excuse me, right here. Got a good picture of it. I was here to witness block 925,000.
The mini's the bigger one. The micro is the tiny one.
Yeah, micro is like...
And then the original one is not for sale anymore and use the like old school train clicker clacker numbers.
Yeah.
And when that was for sale, that was one Bitcoin. So like a month ago, that was a $120,000 clock, and now it's a $90,000 clock.
Still a good clock. Still a good clock. Worth every sat.
Oh, no, not the OG one. I'm fucking – talk about being thankful. I'm thankful I didn't buy the OG clock.
We're going to talk about it later, but the CoinKite Black Friday sale still going on.
I mean, you already brought it up. It's 25% off on CoinKite.com right now. So if you've been itching for a cold card, itching for a block clock, I think the block clock is $50 off. Now's a great time. It's always a good time to buy a cold card, but now's an even better time.
Logan, I'm
sorry. And if you're looking for a guide, by the way, the cool part about cold cards are they're very power user friendly. You can use them in a million different ways, but I think people tend to get overwhelmed with them. But you can also use them in an incredibly simple way with your phone. So I changed my guide. My main cold card guide now focuses on using it on your phone with the Bull Bitcoin wallet. You don't need to have a Bull Bitcoin account. It's an open source self-custody wallet. So if you just go to werunbtc.com/coldcard, that's where my guide is. It's really, really easy. Use a cold card queue with your phone, QR codes. You have the ability to broadcast the transaction via NFC, just tapping your phone if you want. Really great UX and really strong security guarantees.
Yeah. Here's my proof of block catch. Caught it. Looks great on the desk. It's right here. You want random stats?
Yeah, I have one. Network. I have one right underneath my monitor, so I see it whenever I'm working or I'm on air. And unlike you, I don't do like a million different metrics. It's just a Bitcoin price. It's the most important metric.
You're not utilizing it, you know? I can see sats per dollar right now, 10.99.
Every 5 minutes I get the Bitcoin price. It's the only metric you need to know. You can also ignore the news. If we fall $10,000, you can check the news. Maybe we bombed Iran. You know, if we go up $10,000, like maybe like we printed money or something. It's just a good temperature gauge of the world at large.
Yeah. Hey, we'll get into it because price is recovering right now. Silver's screaming right now too, but we have more stats to get to.
Do you own any silver?
No.
Self-custody silver?
I have some Madex pieces that are silver.
Oh, yeah, true.
That's about it. I'm allergic to silver.
Wow.
As well. I can't wear it.
Is that a common thing? Gives you like a rash or something?
Or actually, no. I'm allergic to nickel. So if it's actually like fake silver, it's got some nickel in it.
Yeah, that happens to a lot of people. Like you get fake gold pieces or something. I see Sui Generis John zapped us 80,085 sats. Thupa Thigal.
Sui generis.
And what does his message mean?
Who benefits? Or no, that's qui bono. Sui generis is
But what is his message?
Somebody didn't take Latin in high school.
Why would I take a dead language in high school?
Because it's the basis in a class by itself. That's what it means.
What does Thupa Thaikal mean?
Thupa Thaikal, where's that?
That's his message. I don't know, but 80,000 sats. Thank you, sir. Huge boost. Huge zap.
Boobs boost, dude. 80,085. Big zap.
There boobs you go, boost. Boobs.
We love our boobs boost here. Harlan, longtime listener, first time live. Thank you guys for keeping it real every week. Thank you for joining us live and for the zap, Harlan. Please keep saying it.
I'm not going to keep saying it.
Thiggle. Tupa thiggle. Tupa thiggle.
What does that mean?
I feel like it's a phonetic.
He's trying to get us to say phrase. Something.
Yeah. What are we saying? I have no idea. Say it over and over again fast.
Thupa cycle.
Thupa cycle.
There we go.
Are you saying I have a lisp or something like that? Thupa cycle. Well, John Arnold's at this 100 sats. Cattle bike is still in play. Thupa cycle.
highest signal show in Bitcoin. Thank you, freaks, for joining us week in and week out.
With that, let's get you back to some signal. We are 1,766 blocks away from the next difficulty adjustment, which means we had one between last week's episode and this week's episode. That was a negative 2% difficulty adjustment. Right now, early in this difficulty epoch, it's looking like the next adjustment will be on December 11th, 2025. It's looking like a negative 0.5% difficulty adjustment. There are 2,159 transactions in Clark's mempool. We go over to mempool.space. We'll see that there are loading very slow today. 50,023 transactions in Snotty Bit. It's coming back. Got a bit of a cold here, freaks. Bear with me. Those are the stats of the day. Oh, God. Pick it up, Matt.
Those are the stats of the day. Marty's sneezing. Ready and handling himself.
You pick it up. Monologue.
I'm supposed to pick it up. I think the biggest news of the week was the Rumble wallet launch. I guess I could have. Oh, whatever. I'll just jump right into it. Oh, I guess before I jump right into it, I'm wearing my Silk Road Anonymous Market hoodie. On this Thanksgiving, I think it's important to realize that this was the first Thanksgiving that Ross was able to spend with his family. Absolutely wonderful to see it. But yes,
does your dog need a diaper? In fact, there's one on the floor of my office.
I'll send her over. The biggest news of the week was the Rumble wallet launch, in my opinion. So I let us off with it. Did you see this?
I did see it.
Are we on Rumble?
We are.
And but Logan, not live, right?
No,
we're posted after the fact.
But there's a hack for Rumble. They like live shows. That's what gets the most.
So why downloads. Don't we stream there live?
We got to figure out they're working on it. They just got a big investment from Tether, obviously, earlier this year. The UX and Rumble's back end is not incredible, but we're going to go live there. But even if we don't go live, you can premiere the episode and make it seem like it's live, which is what we need to start doing.
Do that.
We need to start doing it, Logan. We talked about this for both.
But it's on the TFTC account.
The button for that is. It's not on the upload page.
The Rumble people. We got in contact with their team. We have their email now. Figure it out.
But is it in one omnibus TFTC account like we do with YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay, so if the Rumble freaks are zapping Tether over there, you got to send me my cut.
I will.
Logan, keep track of that. Anyway, they added a wallet. They added a self-custody wallet to Rumble. As Marty said, Tether owns just under 50% of the company. That happened earlier this year. We've talked about it in the past. I think we talked about it maybe last week or the week before, that it seems like a bunch of Paolo's tech dreams are all kind of coming together in Rumble, and that's kind of their one of their mainstream tech plays in terms of AI and content and whatnot. But they also use the Tether's wallet development kit, which is open source development kit, to do the self-custody wallet. It supports regular dollar USD tokens, so regular Tether. It supports Tether Gold, so you can zap gold. And it supports right now on-chain Bitcoin. Supposedly, they're going to release Lightning as well. It's important for them that they want to do it self-custody. It seems like they're going to use Spark as the back end, Light Sparks, basically Lightning SDK. Did NVK zap us? How much did he zap us? He zapped us 21,000 sats, so I have to read it. NVK zapped us 21,000 sats. I was trying to use Coldcard's push TX feature. So do you know the push TX feature? So the push TX feature is new, right? So you set up your like transaction on Sparrow.
Broadcast. Yeah, you broadcast via like mempool, right?
Yeah, so you scan the QR code with your Coldcard, then you sign it. And then when it comes time to broadcast, the standard QR method is then you scan the QR code you scan your Coldcard with the webcam on your laptop, but a lot of laptops have bad webcams. So they added the push TX feature where all you have to do is tap the Coldcard Q to your phone and then it broadcasts it through coldcard.com or mempool.space. And so NVK is obsessed with this feature and he asked me to test it and I was trying to test it and I couldn't get it to work. Turns out you can't have airplane mode on if you want to use this feature. I know it seems obvious, but 99% of the time I'm just running airplane mode in Wi-Fi. So it did not seem obvious to me. But if you have airplane mode on, push TX does not work.
Why does it turn off?
I NFC? Believe now they're gonna put a warning in the UX if there's other dullards like me who can't figure out why push TX doesn't work.
Is that because is airplane mode turn off NFC?
I guess so. Yeah.
Speaking of, while we're you know what, CoinKite, I'm gonna give you your props. I went to a wedding last Friday. As you guys know, we recorded last Friday, had some champagne, was prepping for a wedding. Gave a Sats card as the gift and received a very, very thankful text on Monday morning saying it's the coolest gift that the couple got.
Love it. I like the Open Dimes better. They're just like, they're cypherpunk.
They are cypherpunk.
I just feel like they just look cool. You have to give a USB-C dongle when you give it to them now because no one has a USB-A port. I see Florida Justin, Ride or Die Freak. Zapped us 22,222 sats, palindrome, zap. Thankful for the weekly signal and the freaks. Thank you, sir.
Ooh. Open dime fallout.
See, I love these two. Open dimes from previous Black Fridays.
I love these two. I know. I feel like the normies are afraid of like you had to break.
That's good. They should be intimidated. They should get a little intimidation, you know? That should feel, it feels nice. It's got good weight.
Yeah. Logan, pull up the tweet back to, Tether.
Oh, yeah, we got distracted. I think this is huge news.
I think it is, too. I mean, Rumble's a big platform, but it's funny. This is not that tweet, the other tweet that I put in the link. You had Jason Calacanis out here saying that Paolo and Tether need to go 100% American, and the way to do that is to sell all their Bitcoin and buy U.S. treasuries exclusively.
You should buy as many U.S. treasuries as...
I don't see a tweet in the chat.
Where did I put it?
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't put it. Give me a second. But this comes, I think this is newsworthy too. This comes.
I forgot to put this on the list.
During the same week that S&P downgraded Tether to weak. I didn't even realize they were getting official S&P. S&P
ratings. I mean, it's fucking hilarious because they cited that Tether owns nearly 100,000 Bitcoin as a risk factor, even though that is completely unrelated to the reserve. They're fully reserved just on treasuries alone. Then they own a bag of gold and a bag of Bitcoin. And I put this later on, but we might as well talk about it. They became the largest individual independent holder of gold. So, this FUD is just fucking exhausting because basically we have a Ponzi banking system and everyone's running on fractional reserve And Tether is running a full reserve bank that's easier to use than any other bank, completely full reserve, and then some. They have gold plus Bitcoin in addition to their treasury reserves. So it just seems like such even more bullshit than it has been in the past in terms of Tether FUD.
Yeah.
Well, they feel threatened.
Well, I thought Paolo's response was awesome. Did you see it? Pulled up, Logan. Paolo said, to S&P regarding your Tether rating, we wear your loathing with pride. The classical rating models built for legacy financial institutions historically led private and institutional investors to invest their wealth into companies that, despite being attributed investment grade ratings, collapsed, pushing worldwide regulators to challenge such models. The independence and objective assessment of all major rating agencies. The traditional finance propaganda machine is growing worried when any company tries to defy the force of gravity of the broken financial system. No company should dare to decouple itself from it. Tether instead built the first overcapitalized company in the financial industry with no toxic reserves, and yet is and remains extremely profitable. Tether is living proof that traditional financial system is so broken that it's becoming feared by the emperors with no clothes.
Nailed it.
It looks like the 1031. Intern saw this too. It's the first response for me.
I mean, we keep having to fire and hire new interns. It's been a real process over there.
This was a good reply guy
from the 1031 account.
It's a good reply guy from the intern.
I mean, we've talked about it in the past. If you have what effectively amounts to a full reserve bank, like, it could cause a bank run on all the Ponzi banks. Like, why would you keep money in a fractional reserve bank when there's a full reserve alternative? When there's
not only a full reserve alternative, but an incredibly profitable full reserve alternative.
I mean, I know, just to strawman my own argument, the argument will be that the U.S. government will bail out the Ponzi banks when they fail. They might not bail out Tether. But you give it a few years and they probably would bail out Tether too. They bailed out USDC earlier last year when they bailed out Silicon Valley Bank. So,
well,
I wouldn't be surprised if they bailed out Tether if something went down.
Well, this is a good segue. We're just going to hop around the list then, because it's a good segue into the Genesis mission launch, which is essentially a light signal from the U.S. government that they plan to bail out the AI industry no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, they compared it to the Manhattan Project when we built nukes. And it came on the heels of NVIDIA taking an absolute beating on the news that Google might be selling their chips to Meta instead of NVIDIA. Yeah, I mean, this is classic. Like, when people say they have issues with capitalism, most of the time they don't realize they have issues with crony capitalism because we don't have free markets in this country. It's all corrupted by regulators and backstops and broken incentives. And this is just another example.
Yeah. I mean, this comes in conjunction with comments from crypto and AI czar David Sacks. I forget exactly what he said, but along the same lines of like, hey, this is a systemically important industry. We need to make sure that the US government is publicly showing its full support. And again, implicit acknowledgement that there will be backstops to make sure that we win this arms race against China.
Like, just to, can we just go back for a second? Because we sped through this. Logan, can you pull up Sam Callahan's tweet? This is fucking crazy tweet. Tether bought more gold last quarter than any central bank. How crazy is that?
Even while gold was pumping. And there was fucking this insane. I mean, when gold was pumping to all-time highs, people were basically assuming that a bunch of central banks around the world were scrambling to buy more just to make sure they're not caught offside. So I think there definitely was stuff like that going on, at least to a degree. So the fact that they were able to outbuy everybody during that particular period is quite impressive.
The crazy thing is also like the largest central bank purchase last quarter was Kazakhstan, which is just, to the audio freaks, this is what we're looking at on the chart. Pretty crazy.
Is that Brazil in third? I can't see.
Kazakhstan, Brazil, Turkey, Iraq, Guatemala, Czech Republic, then China. But China has an asterisk because no one really knows.
Yeah.
Wild times, freaks. Wild times. Like I said, price of silver running. I've barely been able to dive into that today, but apparently the CME came out and said it was a data glitch that sort of exacerbated the situation. All the precious metal bugs on the internet are saying that's fake news, though. There's a short squeeze going on right now.
Mandibles.
Yeah.
And Bitcoin standard.
I mean, this is like, and I wrote about this on Monday or Tuesday. I forget when I wrote about it, but the Empire Striking Back, big topic of discussion this week as well. And over the last 2 weeks is the notion of JP Morgan attacking Strategy specifically. And I'm not going to lie, I was skeptical of this narrative for a couple months, and I think I've become more convinced that this does seem like a pretty scummy move from JP Morgan. No,
bullshit narrative.
Think so? Why?
Yeah. Because, I mean, look, I'm no friend of Jamie Dimon. He can politely go fuck himself. But what he's best known for is his risk management. In 2008, when everyone else was crumbling, they were in the strongest position. They saw the issues ahead of time. And all of this stems from them increasing margin requirements on Strategy equity holders. So if you held Strategy stock and you were taking out leverage on top of it, they required that you added more margin to it. This is something we covered earlier. And you know, it turns out that like that was actually really prudent risk management over the last 6 months. It was down like 80%. It's down like 70%. Well, what
I have to ask, like, was it prudent risk management? So this is where I was very much in that line of thinking up until the last 2 weeks. And so in retrospect, it's like, oh, that was good risk management. But you could also say, did they do that and then incite a sell-off? Which, like, if you're going to raise your LTV requirements from 50 to 95%, or your margin requirements from 50% to 95%, then people have loans out, that's going to catch them off size. They're going to have to begin selling. And to your point, it was like, okay, maybe it's like a risk management thing. Bitcoin and Strategy specifically are volatile. Maybe we should de-risk. And I think the smoking gun for me, because I've talked to individuals who had this happen to me and they've showed me the paper trail, is when that happened in July, there were a number of people who said, okay, like, this is an egregious collateral requirement that you're thrusting on us overnight. Banks like Fidelity and other prime brokers are offering a 40% LTV, so I'd like to transfer my shares there. And they were extremely slow to deliver the shares to other prime brokers, which would signal that they had lent out shares that they custodied to short sellers. And so, like, an egregious amount of time. Like, I talked to one person who had 50,000 shares and it took them 3 months. They moved 2,500 shares after 3 weeks, and it took months to move the whole position, which 50,000 shares of MicroStrategy's float is a pittance. It's relatively small. You should be able to move that. And if you can't move that, it's a signal that you're rehypothecating those shares to people that are probably going short the stock. And so you could raise margin requirements overnight, force people to sell, and then, not saying that JP Morgan was short itself, but the cherry on top is they launch a competing yield product with MicroStrategy's preferred offerings.
I mean, so first of all, like, I still think prudent risk management explains it. And I wouldn't be surprised if MicroStrategy was like bucketed in with a bunch of other equities And it was kind of happening at the current margin requirements and they didn't even realize. And then they were like, holy shit, like we have a ton of risk exposure here. It's a leveraged Bitcoin equity. Bitcoin itself is already volatile. And then the actual holders are leveraged up too. And ultimately, by the way, I don't think the freaks need me to tell you this, but like if you're leveraged long using a third party on a stock that requires trust in multiple third parties and you get into margin hot water, that is your fucking fault. Like that is, take some personal responsibility over your actions there. Then the second piece is counterpoint. The second piece is these banks are just so fucking slow with fucking everything. Like they're antiquated institutions. And especially when you want to leave them, regardless of how you're leaving them and why you're leaving them, they're particularly slow. Once you try and take ownership over your money and your assets, they are slow across the board. And that's malicious and predatory and inefficient. It's inefficiency. It's like a combination of all the three. And then the last piece is, first of all, this is not JP's first IBIT product. I have a link there to other IBIT products that they offer. But this is hilarious because like 3 days before they released this product, the narrative on X was that JP Morgan hates Bitcoin and wants Bitcoin to die. And then as soon as this product hit the newswire, everyone was like, no, it's not that they hate Bitcoin. It's that they're releasing a competitor. Like the narrative shifted. The narrative shifted to fit the facts. Which is usually a telltale sign of just people stretching to come up with reasons for why something's happening.
I don't know. The failure to deliver, I mean, it should have taken months to deliver 50,000 shares of a very highly.
When you're leaving a banking institution, they're always fuck with you.
Well, it's not like you're shutting down your account or saying like, hey, I'm going to go to this prime broker for this particular position. I think that's pretty common.
What is it? 50,000 shares. I'm guessing if it was like 5 months ago, MicroStrategy was at like $350. So like whoever your friend is wanted to move $17 million worth of assets away from them to someone else. You know, that is not the most surprising thing in the world that they drag their fucking feet while you're trying to move $17 million of assets away from their platform.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Anyway.
They shut down Jack's bank account too.
If you self-custody Bitcoin, you don't have to deal with this. Yeah, they shut down Jack's bank account and Jack's a good friend. And I knew about this when it happened. And the most annoying part is with all of these things, when they shut down your bank account, you never get a reason. So Jack Mallers doesn't know why they shut down his account. His dad had a private wealth account with them for 30 plus years. And Jack's account was through that and they didn't shut down his dad, but that's just worth noting because, you know, presumably it was, you know, a high value account. But all that said, like Jack did call Jamie Dimon, Jeffrey Epstein's banker, which he was. That is factual. He was Jeffrey Epstein's banker. But that's probably why they shut it down. They probably didn't shut it down because they hate Bitcoin.
I mean, Jamie Dimon specifically hates Bitcoin. I don't think they hate Bitcoin either. I think they want to co-opt. I would not be surprised if they want to co-opt things. They want everything but to run through them.
To the point of their inefficiency, Jack very loudly said that they were Jeffrey Epstein's banker, and it took them months to shut down his account.
Yeah, like, I think he said that. I think he said that first, like 2 years ago. Actually,
there's been and anything Jack says hits all the wires. You know, that was all over the fucking place.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm gonna still fall on the side of there's some shenanigans at play here.
Anyway, did you look into this structured note that they released on IBIT? It's a weird one.
They release it Wednesday, and I've been very busy, but I've heard it's like downside protection up to like a 30% drawdown.
Yeah, but it's not fully downside protected yet. Correct. It's like if it goes down by more than 30%, then you don't have downside protection. Okay, here. JP Morgan's proposed instrument will set a specific price level for BlackRock's IBIT fund next month. In approximately a year, if IBIT is trading at a price equal to or greater than the set price, the notes will be automatically called and investors will receive a guaranteed minimum return of 16%. If, however, IBIT's price is lower than the set price a year from now, the notes will not be called and participating investors will ride the investment out until 2028. Should IBIT pass JP Morgan's next set price by the end of 2028, investors will earn 1.5x, so a little bit of leverage there on their investment with no cap, meaning if Bitcoin shoots up by 2028, investors stand to earn a hefty return. As an added protection and incentive, if IBIT is down in 2028, but by no more than 30%, investors will recoup their entire initial investment. Basically, the main reason investors would choose this note over simply investing in IBIT, with JP Morgan's instrument, investors get a chance at 1.5x upside, a fixed return if IBIT is flat in a year, and long-term downside protection up to 30% if IBIT is down more than 30% in 2028. However, investors lose the equivalent of IBIT's depreciation. Like, just stay humble and stack sats. Like, what the fuck is going on there? It's super fucking confusing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like how JP Morgan makes money from that. Like, obviously, management fees.
Well, they just collect fees. Yeah, they pull fees out of that.
Yeah, just stay humble, stack sats. It's sage advice. I wonder what the chat is like.
I've read that blurb multiple times, and it's just so complicated.
Yeah. Chat, what do you think? We're saying chat now. This is what all the kids do. Chat.
Chat.
Is JP Morgan nefarious actions or simply practicing good risk management?
Update from the chat. We have Ride or Die Freak Map 21 Zap 21,000 sats. Thank you, sir, for your constant zaps. I also saw the big zap you gave to Dispatch this week. Thank you. Appreciate it. And NVK zapped again, 21,000 sats. RHR, the macropod. Well.
It's not really
it's macro. All related to Bitcoin now.
Not really macro. Come on, MBK. Note, I mentioned Tuesday we went and got close shaves. The barber who did it just asked him very nonchalantly. He was like, "Hey, would you be willing to be paid in Bitcoin?" And he's like, "Yep, no questions asked." Had a wallet ready to go.
How'd you pay him? Did he already have a wallet?
He had a wallet. I don't know which one he was using, some weird software one.
You didn't ask or look at the screen?
I did. I think it might have been Phantom Wallet, if I'm being honest. But
so it was on
he
said
he assured me. He's going to sweep at the cold storage. He's got a USB wallet. Is how he
so it was on chain Bitcoin.
Yeah.
What wallet did you pay from?
I paid from the Strike app.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Do you not have
I tried to pay with my zaps, but my it was above my threshold.
I really like the Bull Bitcoin wallet now.
You like what one?
Bull Bitcoin. What?
The Bull Bitcoin wallet?
Yeah, for a self-custody wallet that supports Lightning.
Yeah.
It uses Liquid at Rest for the Lightning side. I think it's wallet. I don't know. It is wallet.bullbitcoin.com. Or you can just search Bull Bitcoin in your favorite app store. Self-custody, no KYC, pay with Lightning, receive on chain, pay on chain. Basically any type, pay Liquid, any type of Bitcoin invoice you can pay really easily. And in general, Freaks, you just keep a couple $100 worth on your phone. So when those situations arise, you're able to just pay people really easily. But yeah, obviously you can pay from Strike or Cash App or Primal Wallet.
River.
Pretty cool.
River,
cool to see. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was nice. If I'm being honest with myself, I was expecting, no, I'm good. But it was like, yeah, I'll gladly take it.
It's rare that you ask and they already have a wallet set up, but also it's not surprising that it was a shitcoin wallet. I think Phantom is the largest Solana wallet.
Yeah.
Trust Wallet is the largest self-custody wallet in the world. That's Binance's wallet.
It might be that one. I don't know. It's a UI I've seen before. Big news out of Bitcoin protocol development this week, cluster mempools. are making, are they, have they been merged? Or are they getting set up to be merged?
Yeah, I mean, I think the plan is to release it with Core V31.
Yeah.
But they've been in the works for years. This thread that I linked to in the show notes is from 2024. It's Merch explaining it, just to show you how long it's been worked on. But basically the idea, yeah, Cluster Mempool has been merged. The idea is that it makes it easier for a node to calculate which transactions are paying the highest fee when ancestors and parents or children are accounted for. So a child transaction is a transaction that happens after your transaction, and a parent one is the transactions that happened before. And if they're all unconfirmed, then their fee rates are all dependent on each other, right? Like if you are receiving a 3 sat per byte transaction and then you send a 2 sat per byte transaction after that, that chain of transactions has basically an equivalent fee rate. Usually what happens is actually the opposite, right? So you're like receiving at 3 sats per byte and then you pay out another transaction at 6 sats per byte. The equivalent fee rate is somewhere between 3 and 6 sats per byte. It's like 4.5, 5 sats per byte or something like that.
Yeah. And this just makes everything more computationally efficient, right? Because if you have them in clusters, instead of trying to disparately connect them and figure out which child's paying for parent, you just have basically like a cluster ID once you add a child transaction.
The whole idea of mempools is that we have an independent relay network, but also that nodes are able to easily figure out and validate ahead of time which blocks will be mined next and what those transactions will have in that, what transactions will be in the next mined block, which makes block propagation a lot smoother and results in more competitive mining landscape. And individual nodes had a lot of trouble calculating these effective fee rates when you had large chains of transactions. And this is attempts to mitigate that and provides a much more efficient path.
Shout out to everybody working on this. I love more efficiency in mempools.
But you just went into the software update. So can we read the boost from last week?
Yes.
And while we're doing that, NVK zapped a third time, 21,000 sats, pulling the leg.
It must be selling out of cold cards this Black Friday. Getting extra generous here.
Pulling the leg on Primal live stream zaps are the new pulling the leg. Reminder freaks, you can use any Nostr app that supports video streaming to participate in our live chat. We really like Primal. You can download on your favorite app store. Any zap over 21,000 sats must be read on air. That is our rule. Seater zapped 21,000 sats. Think my zap vanished. Feedback for silent payment wallet is appreciated. It's in early alpha. And then he linked to the GitHub. His GitHub name is Set Avenger.
/ blindbit - desktop. If you're listening, github.com/SetAvenger/ Blind bit - desktop. If you want to check it out, silent payments. We have one boost that passes the 21,000 sat threshold from Rabbit Hole Recap 384. Are you not entertained? It comes from our good friend, longtime freak, longtime supporter, Mike Clear. 21,212 sats, palindrome, zap, boost, whatever we're calling it. Listen to this rip while installing a hash rate heat system. Winter is coming. Stack sats with your heater. You can go to exergyheat.com. exergyheat.com. Shout out to Mike, Tyler, everybody else on the Exergy team. That's a project I'm pretty excited about.
Oh, yeah. Fountain podcast app is also. Also streams our video too, and you can participate in a live chat through that as well, since they enable Nostr.
Yes. Building on the software updates, White Noise version 0.2.1 has been released. This comes with...
By the way, the dream, The dream is that Rumble just adds Nostr support, so the live streams and the zaps are all just cross compatible. But I also want a pet unicorn, so we'll see if that ever happens.
I'm gonna go hole punch, dude. Come on, come on.
Well, I mean, Rumble is like, if the argument, the Tether guys don't really love Nostr because they think it's too centralized. But like, if the argument is Rumble, and Rumble is incredibly centralized, it's just a straight YouTube model. So just broadcast as Nostr events.
Yeah.
Not a horrible idea. But anyway, white noise. V0.2.1 is out. If you remember, white noise is attempting to use Nostr identities and Nostr relays to build an alternative to Signal that is as secure and easy to use as Signal, but doesn't require a phone number and doesn't require them to run servers. You know, Signal right now is running all the servers for Signal. If you remember, there was an outage the other day when AWS went down. There was an outage for a few hours. Also, it creates a central point of failure. So they're using the Nostr interoperable network for identity and actual comms, sending the encrypted messages back and forth. Historically, it's a relatively new project. It hasn't been that stable. It's starting to get really stable. If you want to test it out, you can download White Noise in your favorite app store. What is the, I think it's white.noise is the URL. Nope. Is it whitenoise.chat?
Is whitenoise.chat.
Whitenoise.chat. And if you message me, I'll reply back. You can test it out that way.
Check it out, freaks. Whitenoise.chat. You don't have it on the list, but I saw, just because I appreciate the hustle, that they sent out a financial freedom report yesterday on Thanksgiving Day. This is financial freedom report number 99 in the Human Rights Foundation. Story of the week is coming from Venezuela, where hyperinflation and growing digital asset use is happening. Venezuelans are bracing for hyperinflation as the bolivar rapidly loses value. The country's central bank stopped pushing inflation data last year after Nicolas Maduro fraudulently claimed victory in the 2024 elections. International institutions project 548% inflation in 2025 and 629% in 2026, while some economists warn the rate could exceed 800%. Inside the country, the detentions of economists and a former finance minister have left few willing to challenge the regime's official narrative. At the same time, major retailers are increasingly accepting digital assets for payment. The head of the country's National Association of Supermarkets, Italo Tencio, projected the digital assets will account for 10% of all grocery transactions by early 2026. Bitcoin, there when you need it. When your government becomes completely despotic and throws all the economists and finance ministers in jail because they're trying to warn you that your money is being debased, that you should get away from it. Bitcoin allows you to save yourself. Venezuela, I think, has been a shining example of that over the last decade. Time and time again, Venezuelans have turned to Bitcoin to escape the ills of their government and its management of their monetary system.
Take agency over your life. Use Bitcoin and Nostr.
Yes. For more stories like this, make sure you sign up for the Financial Freedom Report. You can do that at financialfreedomreport.org. Last but not least, big topic of discussion this week, ex-location doxing going on. A lot of people.
What's your opinion on this one?
I'm not a big fan.
I think
if you don't have the if you don't have the developed Twitter muscle to understand when you're being gaslit by a foreign sock puppet, you shouldn't be on the app.
Yeah, I mean, so X this week launched a location feature on people's profiles. So if you go to their profile and you click their join date, it showed what country they were based in or they were tweeting from or they like last accessed. Originally, it showed also where the country of the account they created it in was.
I think they still do.
No, they removed the account created location. It's just where you've last connected from. And in settings, after the fact, you can set it to region. So like instead of saying you're in, Costa Rica, it says Central America or something. The funniest one being Australia, because it's just also the continent. It's both. I mean, it seems like there's been widespread support for it on X. The big one is, it seems like a lot of people want to root out which accounts are based in India. There's like a bunch of MAGA accounts, for instance, that were pretending to be like super pro-American accounts. And they were like in India and Nigeria and shit. But I don't know. I think it's, there are definitely people that were put at risk for it, particularly in smaller countries, right? Like if you're a public American and it says you're in America, like it doesn't really affect you. But if you're in a tiny ass country and you're already a sensitive individual and then it gets publicly released, okay, that could be pretty bad. But the big piece of this was when they first released it, supposedly the Department of Homeland Security was based in Israel.
I saw that.
And then they immediately pulled the plug on the feature. They waited 3 hours, they re-released the feature, and then all government accounts did not have the location set up for. And I guess the head of product, this guy Nikita, said the reason that they don't have location set up, the location docs for government accounts, is because it puts them under threat of like physical violence or something. Which, okay, so that means if you believe that, then you believe that all accounts are under threat of physical violence, not just government accounts, but you still did it anyway. So yeah, and then last but not least, if there were like a bunch of accounts pretending to be from one place and were actually from another, X has known this the entire time and hasn't done anything about it. They were fine while they were trying to become profitable and sustainable, pretending that those huge bot accounts were real. Until it suited their goals. So I think there's a bunch of different takeaways here. I originally in the show notes, I had a link to Grok admitting that the Department of Homeland Security was originally based in Israel, or their Twitter intern was at least, but they deleted that Grok post.
Since been deleted, not there.
They just erased that little piece of history. You know, makes you think that you should have, you know, some kind of distributed interoperable server mechanism where all posts are signed and anyone can easily archive them. I think that would probably be a good win for humanity.
Do you think the Department of Homeland Security account was actually started in Israel? Would it shock you, actually? Because I guess that's another way to frame it.
No, it would not shock me. No. I mean, to give them like the biggest benefit of the doubt, it could be that the person who runs their social media is a dual Israeli American citizen that was in Israel at the time.
I don't think that makes it any better.
No, it doesn't really. No, it doesn't. But to give them the biggest benefit of the doubt, that's what they got going. But instead, they didn't even argue that. They just said, nope, that's not true. That never happened. And they just deleted all the tweets related to it.
Did you see the other interesting coincidences going on this week, or not only this week, but even in the lead up to Charlie Kirk's thing with the Google trend?
What about the murder of the National Guard?
That's what I'm alluding to.
Fucking tragic. And the guy who murdered them was trained and paid by the CIA in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
That thing reeks of some kind of false flag PSYOP. I just don't know which side did it. Like there's a bunch of, you can follow a bunch of different motives down that path.
Have you seen people surfacing the Google trend data for the names of some of the people?
Yeah, that they were searching them ahead of time, right?
Yeah, like a week, like days before, like these no names had questionable amount
like
of
random National Guardsmen, search. Right? Like,
yeah. And apparently, Charlie Kirk's murder, similar things happened with like buildings around the UVU campus believe you.
I mean, in this case, like the actual guy who did the assassination, who they have in custody, was trained by the CIA and paid by the CIA. Yeah. Like Afghan special forces. Like that's fucking crazy. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
The CIA created Al Qaeda in the 80s.
Yeah.
Supported the Mujahideen. There's New York Times articles about it. You can go read.
Insane.
It is.
Tragic.
Hey, best country. Very tragic. I mean, the one girl.
My heart goes out to the National Guardsmen.
And then they were 25 years old. It was her first week on the job.
And like, they're not allowed. My understanding is they're not allowed to carry rifles. They're not allowed to have their handguns chambered. The guy, the third guardsman who actually took him down with a pocket knife. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Fucking insane.
I didn't look to be honest, I didn't look too much into it because I was like, you know, it's Thanksgiving and I don't want to be depressed on Thanksgiving. Let's end it on a good note. We got a 21,000 sat zap from one of the Bitcoin veterans guys. Your name is abbreviated in the UI right now. Thank you to everyone who contributed hash rate to our Veterans Day telehash. We reached over 98 petahash a second and raised 5,240,000 sats. All funds raised go to providing freedom tech education to military veterans. Very applicable.
Awesome. Love to see it. And by the way, that's from the official Operation Bitcoin Nostra account.
Yeah.
I can see it on my side.
Hey. Crazy out there, but be thankful. We have each other. You know, I'm thankful for you, Freaks. I'm thankful for you, Matt. Thankful for my family, for this life. The fact that we're here, able to talk about this stuff and try to get through all this madness with you all together. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Week in, week out. And chip away, block by block, week by week. We're going to help support and equip each other with the knowledge and tools necessary to make sure that we can live free.
Well said. Love you all. Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love.
The key.